Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick 'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
What's going on? It's Langston Galloway, you know, your normal guest. Just here, kicks, and shit show. I'm here.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby, episode 105 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Got our air horns. We're rolling. Everybody's feeling good. It's summertime. The planet is in a heat wave. Have you seen that clip of it's in the UK and they do a split? It's from the movie Don't Look Up, where Jennifer Lawrence's character is basically telling the news anchors, they're like, no, we're trying to tell you that this stuff is going to kill you. And the news anchor is just like, yeah, we don't really do bad news here. It's like, okay. And then it cuts to literally in the UK. this guy's like, no, this is pretty bad. Like, we haven't seen temperatures like this. They're records for a reason. The Earth should not be heating up this much. And the anchor goes, yeah, but should we just be outside enjoying the warm weather? I was like, art, life imitating art, people, or art imitating life, or both, or yeah. Basically, I say all that to say,
wild times, y'all.
I mean, Earth, it was fun.
I know, right? It's been real. I think it's funny. I was talking about this the other day with someone too, and they were like, "Oh, so basically, I can go sunbathing in Antarctica." I'm like, "I know you joke, but like, this is kind of wild, though."
And it's like, I don't think people realize like the Earth should not be this warm. Like, that should not be a thing.
I mean, I'm from Jersey. I love a good tan, but that's not what it's about at the end of the day. And I will say, like, I've been traveling a lot, you know, the past couple weeks. So happy to be coming home for some reasons and not happy to be headed back to New York this weekend for others. I mean, it's wild. I think that New York heat, one of my favorite accounts on Instagram is Your New York. I just think that the memes are on point. Like, there's like a certain vibe and culture that, like, when you leave New York, you forget how New York is, like, so New York. It's like,
so New York.
It's like, I don't know. Even like the language that we speak, like, is it stupid like far? Your... Is it dumb far? Your, mm-hmm. That's right.
No, it is a whole other world. It's also the New York humidity, New York City humidity, right? I mean, the concrete jungle, you know.
Yes, and the 12 seasons meme, I think, was my favorite. Hot in hell, I think, is where we're at right now, currently in the spectrum, right? Like, especially with that humidity.
That's what kills you. Cities,
it just, like, hits different. And New York is, like, for those who are not based in New York, and for those who do, like, you can relate to this, you have 37 different temperature changes throughout the day, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're blessed enough to have central air or an air conditioner in your unit at all, it's nice and temperate. When you leave, you go outside, it's hot as fuck, it's sweaty mm-hmm. as fuck. You get on the mm-hmm. subway, the platform is steamy, or maybe you're lucky that you get on one of those platforms that has that big ass fan that, you know, everyone is crowded around, and then you get on the train, and then it's cold as fuck, but you get everybody's sweaty bodies rubbing against each other. Like, I mean, I haven't been on the subway since before COVID, at least in the summer for that reason. I try to walk as many places as I can, or I drive, but it's a different vibe. And then you're hot. It's outside again. You're like beating in the sun. And then you go inside to your freezing cold office. And you're like, how many layers can I put on?
It's
can
wild.
I mean, this is why I like work from home vibes are like a real thing this summer. It's a whole mix of emotions.
When I was still working in corporate, one of my old offices in New York City, like, so in my actual office, inside the office, and it was an older building, luckily. So the air would be like, pump, and we're talking like 60 degrees. I'm like, it's the middle of summer and it's freezing, but
soup in the summer. That's yeah.
I could at least open up my window in my office and let the humidity in, right? That's how bad it is. You have to let the humidity in to counteract the 60 degree cold weather from your AC to balance it out, to be like, oh, okay, I'm not freezing. This is actually, I can deal with this.
I mean, I lived in a pre-war building when I first moved to New York when I was 22 years old, and I know that feeling very well, where you have your window open in the winter because the heat, it smells like burning flesh to a degree once it first starts kicking up. But like, that's like that building heat. You have no control over the level or the temperature. All you know is it's high and hot mm-hmm. as fuck. Like mm-hmm. you could probably cook an egg on the floor of your kitchen if you needed to. It's like stupid hot, right?
It's wild.
The window open is like, that to me is like so New York, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, maybe people experience that in other parts of the country, but like, I don't know. Give your a follow.
Give your, folks, just a little bit of quick housekeeping. We will be off next week. Your boy is taking some much needed R&R. Don't at me. Don't be looking for me, because I ain't looking for y'all. We will see you when we're back. Anyway. Right.
Send me a postcard, Jay.
I'll send you a postcard. This is also, Gabby, you know, like the quiet time in the sports calendar, right? Of course, we have WNBA going. Baseball All-Star break just ended, but we're getting into the dog days of summer now, right? Where it's like, really, we got baseball. We got U.S. Open tennis coming up, which is one of my favorite events of the year, but that's not till end of August. We have WNBA regular season still going on. And
training camp.
Well, football training camp begins in August. Yep. And NBA training camp will be here before you know it in September, right? But so right now, this July, August period is kind of quiet. So, you know, folks, take advantage, you know, decompress, disconnect from the metaverse and the online world, and go into IRL, find a beach, find a pool,
buy some sneakers.
Yeah, just, you know, do your thing out there. I'm excited though, Gabby, because our guest today is someone in the sports world, an actual player. Said player, not play us. See what I did there, folks? An actual player in the major leagues, but I didn't say which major league. Anyway, but someone who is a notorious sneaker collector. He's doing some fascinating things, designing his own brand. There's just a lot going on. A very, very awesome dude, and I can't wait for you guys to hear our conversation with him. So
really excited,
stay tuned.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hello, Gabby. We are back, and we are not alone. We are joined by basketball player extraordinaire, sneaker collector extraordinaire, Mr. Langston Galloway. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Doing great. How you guys doing?
Thank you. Thank you for being here, man. We got to see. Got a little clap from the audience. Yeah. They had to let you know they were happy to see you. All right, man. So it is the off season for basketball right now, but I imagine you are out there training, working on your skills, doing what every player does in the off season. How is the off season going for you so far?
Yeah, it's going really good. I've been to numerous amount of mini camps thus far, played with Team USA in the qualifiers. And then I actually have one more window that I'm trying to hit before the season gets going. So really just been rolling. This summer has been pretty busy. June, I was all over the country. And then now July, pretty much the same thing. So it's good. Really good.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so for those that, I mean, if you watch this show, you are, of course, NBA fan. But, you know, in case you're like Langston Galloway, yes, played for the Knicks, played for the Bucks, played for the Nets. Like, he's been on a number of different NBA teams. And so I know the goal is to hit a camp this coming season in September, lock on with a squad and, you know, show them what you could do. And you actually, I want to talk about your Knicks run, because you had a nice run there with the Knicks. And I think, you know, what I always talk about with people when they talk about NBA, the NBA to me, Langston, is the greatest basketball league in the world. Obviously, I think it's the best league in the world. Mm-hmm. And I always try to tell people who like don't like the NBA, who are like, I prefer college better guy or whatever. I'm always like, that's because you don't realize that this is the best basketball. No, those guys think. I go, no. Yeah. Like, you know how good you got to be to make it in the NBA. Like,
and to make it look as easy as it looks.
Right. Like, I'm like, the 500th ranked player in the NBA is so good at basketball. Like, it's not even funny. Because at some level, right, all of you were the best player on several of your teams, right? That's how your life went. So talk to, like, the average person about how difficult and competitive that basketball league is.
Yeah, no, I heard a saying the other day. I think it might have been Kyrie or somebody said it the other day, which it makes a lot of sense now that he said it. If you look at the NBA as a whole, right, there's only been 5,000 players in the history of the NBA. Like, just think about that, 5,000. Like, think about how many billions of people have been on this earth for the last 75 years. You know, if you think about it, like, they've just had the 75th year anniversary last season, this past season. Like, 5,000 players have come across, played number of years, and then, you know, have exited and, you know, going on to bigger and better things. So to think about, like, all those individuals that have been a part of the NBA, to think about, you know, not just getting to the NBA, but sticking, being able to have an opportunity to, you know, get multiple years. I mean, it's harder than what people think. Like, you look at, like, a lot of people, they come to games and they say, all right, you know, I'm gonna sit up in the rafters and watch the game, and you know, you're like, oh, it's pretty easy. But then when you get a courtside seat or you're closer to the game, you see how fast it is. Like, you know, guys are flying up and down the court. Guys are bigger, taller, faster than, you know, what you think when you look at them in person. Like, it really makes sense, but people don't understand that your average fan doesn't understand that. But, you know, hopefully one day people will understand that. But I don't know how. Maybe you know, maybe they might create a meta world where you're playing against these guys in, you know, in the meta world, and you look up and like, oh shoot, like, they actually, that, like, I don't know how I'm supposed to shoot this shot. So
I mean that is my favorite thing, because I feel like this is why I always love whenever there's a situation that comes up where there's like an athlete versus a Joe kind of thing, a pro versus a Joe, and like there was of course a show, but I love when it happens sort of organically in the wild, right? So one of my favorite ones was like Brian Scalabrine. It was like a couple of years ago, right? And Scal's been out of the league for a minute now, right? He'll probably admit to you a little over, you know, a little heavier now than his playing days, whatever,
right? Of course
some young athletic dude's like, man, I'll cook you. It's like, all right, bro. Like,
okay, we're going to see. Yeah.
You think you will. It's like, and you know, you play one-on-one. It's make take, right? Dude ain't never touched the ball. Like, never touched the ball. You ain't never touching the ball. Like,
I mean, because it's like, hey, look, when you think about your average fan, like, okay, there's a 9-to-5, right? But like, you know, as an athlete, from I can only speak about how my journey has been. I wake up at 5 in the morning. I lift. I do basketball 7:30, 10 o'clock. I do basketball again. Then I do basketball in the evening. Like, that's 3 basketball workouts. You know, it consists of, you know, a number of different things working on. But your average fan might get in the gym for 30 minutes to an hour and say, all right, you know, I had a great day. Like, I do this. Like, I wake up and I do basketball. Like, that's it. That's all I think. I eat, breathe, sleep, basketball. Like, that's it. So it's on my mind at all points. So
that's the part that the Joe doesn't realize. They do this is their 9-to-5. Like, that is what they do 24/7.
And then they're 5 to 9 when the 9-to-5 wraps.
Right.
Like, you work an
overtime day. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. So this idea that you're gonna come up here and you're gonna, I'm like, nah, bro. Like, that's not. I mean, matter of fact, and Gabby, you know this. Most of those weekend warriors at the 24-hour fitness, you getting cooked by the WNBA players too. Like, they working you too. You ain't touching the ball against them neither.
I'm not challenging anybody, so I don't know who you're referring to and why I know this so well, Jay.
Hey, look, I've seen a couple videos like out there where, you know, your average person has gotten cooked by WNBA players, like even players overseas. Like,
absolutely,
it doesn't matter. Like, you know, if a person is really, you know, doing something as a profession, like just how people go out in the business world and say, I'm a professional, like, I don't know, NFT finder, you know, whatever the case may be, like, they are professional for a reason.
Right.
But it's like, that's where people don't understand that. It's like, hey, when you're talking about basketball, like, you know, I'm small, I'm 6'2". And I'm small, playing, like, you know, small, right?
Taller than the average human, but small.
So, you know, so I'm average height with most other human beings. And they're like, oh man, y'all can cook you, man. Like, I'm not, oh, I thought you was bigger. Okay, all right, think what you want. Just think what you want. I will bust somebody up, like, real. But, you know, it is what it is.
It's so funny because it only happens in this profession, right? You don't walk into a cockpit and say, man, I can fly this plane. You don't know what you're doing. It's like, okay, you trying to die tonight? Like, cool.
I can fix those teeth in the dentist's office.
Okay, go ahead.
I've had it. I don't show up to your job and tell you how to do your job. Like,
That's right.
Hilarious to me. I love it, man. All right, so let's start at the beginning. Obviously, you've been a ball player, and like most people, you probably started playing ball really young, but when did you fall in love with sneakers for the first time?
Ever since I was probably about, probably 10 or 11, like my parents, they got me my first pair of Jordans, which was the He Got Games, Jordan 13s, and I had a pair of those, and like, then the movie came out, and you know, it was all like kind of all in one, and just like, oh man, like this is, it's amazing. So, you know, getting those shoes, and then like crazy story, like my mom ended up throwing them out because I was wearing them so much, and I didn't even know she threw them out at the time, but I was looking for them all around the house. I threw them out. I'm like,
that sounds like
mom stayed throwing stuff out. You're like, what you doing, man?
Always. Like, you know, just breaking rules that they don't need to be breaking, you know. That's, you know, you're never going to throw away a pair of shoes. Like, you got to keep it, you know, until you die. You gotta keep until you die. But yeah, so started collecting, which was my only pair. And then as time kind of went on, I didn't collect because, you know, we really couldn't afford it at the time. And when I got to college, that's when I started, you know, get my collection together. I would work camps, which I wish we had NIL when I was playing because, you know, you guys get a little bit more money now. So they can afford a little bit more. But, you know, I was working camps and working, you know, some small jobs on the side, just trying to get a couple of things. So, I started collecting and then, you know, it just blew up from there.
I know Gabby's going to jump in, but I got to ask, you mentioned that the He Got Games, the Ray Allens, and then like, you know, the movie came out. When you saw the movie, you're like, yeah, I made the right choice. I'm trying to play basketball. And I think you know exactly what scene I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Every kid who saw that, that's what you thought. I mean, I wasn't playing basketball good enough, so I knew that wasn't going to be my life. But, hey, look, you know.
You get to college, you're like, oh, that's how it is? Okay, all right, cool.
I mean, I'm looking at loving basketball.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, basketball, I think to that point, I know Gerard talked a bit about like college versus the NBA. Talk more about kind of that transition, right? And I think like, you know, a lot of guests that we have on the show talk about like when they're younger, they didn't necessarily have a big collection, but it's like when things started picking up, some of it was performance, whether it's the shoes that they wore on the court or stuff off the court. Would love to know more about kind of that transition from college into the league and how sneakers were a part of that.
Yeah. So, you know, just to kind of touch on the basketball side of things first. The biggest thing for me was the speed. The speed of the game changes very fast. Like you think about college at the time when I was playing was a 35 second shot clock. Now I think it's down to 30 now. And so the game was much slower. You know, teams walking it up. Mm-hmm. They got plays. Teams running a Princeton style offense. Like they're slowing the game down. Scores are real low, 39, 42. You're like, dang, like, it's a low scoring game. But then you get to the pros and it's like, literally like you score a basket, guys are getting out, they're trying to get down the court, trying to score immediately. Like, you know, they're trying to score within 20, 19 on the clock. So you're like, okay, I got to work on my conditioning. I got to work on my conditioning. So that was definitely the biggest thing. But then, you know, on the shoe side of things, I went from, I'd probably say, maybe 10, 15 pairs when I got out of college, like collecting wise, like that's probably all the only pair, only shoes I had. And then by the time I got NBA, because I got called up, didn't get drafted, came out the G League. Nike signed me to a contract, which was a 2-year deal. So I kind of was blessed because then I was getting free shoes left and right. Like my inventory was building really fast, and I didn't have to do much. You know, I go on the site, boom, 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 type it in. All right, next thing you know, it's at my door. So I ended up being with Nike for 4 years, the first 4 years of my career. And, you know, and that's why I tell people, like, they're like, dang, you got a crazy collection. But I'm like, the first 4 years, like, they was sending me stuff. Like, I was just, you know, I had a lot of stuff coming at my doorstep, and I was just like, I wasn't paying for it, so. It
was my good favorite price, for, you know, $3.99.
Yeah, like, hey, that's the dream, right?
It's great. $3.99.
It's great. So I was loving that. That was definitely right up my wheelhouse. So I appreciate the time being with Nike. So it's great.
So when you were coming up, was it because you were at St. Joe's? So for college, what shoe brand school were they when you were there?
We were still Nike.
You were
still
Nike then.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But my coach, kind of give you like a small story real fast. Mm-hmm. He wasn't allowing us to wear whatever we wanted to on the court.
With the team issue ones.
We had to wear those. Team issue ones. So okay. We couldn't like go out and like find a pair of shoes. So mm-hmm. most guys would be like, dang, like now I got to wait till a new shoe comes out to get a new shoe. So mm-hmm. it kind of sucked. That was the only bad thing about it. But then by, I think about my senior year, that's when my coach, Phil Martelli, kind of allowed us to kind of, you know, get your own, like, identity and your own, like, you know, just, you know, flow. So it was like, cool, exactly. All right, let's go from here.
Guys are like, all right, I'm going to get these J's. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Yeah.
No, yeah. I love it.
No, that's the way to do it. All right, yep. So you're in the NBA. You signed with Nike for the first 4 years. Let's go through your sneaker journey. So after Nike, that relationship ends. What do you do then from a sneaker standpoint?
Yeah, so then leave, like trying to figure out, like, hey, what am I going to do next? I got approached by Q4 Sports, and they wanted to, you know, give me the opportunity to create my own shoe and kind of build my own kind of, or have my own creative control with a brand. So mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, let's do it. And so I was with them for 2 years. And it was great. It was great. Yeah. Great experience. I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And it kind of transitioned me into, you know, I was a free agent my seventh year in the league. And then this past year, I started my own brand, Ethics, mm-hmm. the brand. Me and my wife, she's kind of the face. I'm letting her run it. She's doing everything for the brand, and I'm just wearing the shoes on the court. So it's really, really dope.
When you decided to start Ethics, where did, obviously people know what Ethics means, but like in the general sense, but why did you decide on that name, and why, you know, what was the genesis behind starting your own brand?
Yeah. So Ethics, and kind of how we got to that was, you know, how I got to the NBA, really. My work ethic, like, that's everything. And I tell kids, like, you know, speaking at camps, speaking anywhere, like, you know, the three things that I always lay my hat on is, you know, my work ethic, sacrifice, and then, you know, being able to take care of, you know, everything that I can, which is, you know, mental, my health, everything like that. Like, that's huge. So I kind of laid my hat on, like, a work ethic, like, all right, how can we make this into something that means something to so many other people? And so Ethics, like, hey, look, you know, how were you raised? How were you brought up? And, you know, what's gotten you to this point in your life? No matter if it's, you know, it's on the court with basketball, you know, you're 9 to 5, whatever the case may be, like, that, it, you know, everybody has their own ethos and they kind of can build from there. So that was like everything that, like, we really wanted to push that. And that's what we've been continuing to do. We're just getting started. We're 6 months in now, and we're just paving out our own little lane, paving our lane. So it's great. It's great. And then when it's come to just like the shoes and everything like that, mm-hmm. like, it's been a journey. It's truly been a journey. I've been working on this project for the last 2.5 years. Me, my wife, and our designer just going back and forth, just trying to figure out, hey, how can we find the right factory? How can we find the right people to kind of connect us with that factory? What is the right sample? What is the shoe feel? You know, there's so many things that people don't realize. Your average person doesn't realize what goes into sneakers. And so, 2.5 years later, then, hey, we have a shoe, and we're at this point where we're about getting ready to launch shoe number 4.
That's fantastic. Amazing.
Yeah. We talk a lot about kind of that process, right? Like the fashion meets function on the show too. And I know you talk about like 2.5 years worth of research. Like, what was that like from like a technological standpoint, right? Like, basketball shoes, I think even since like the Jordan 1 have evolved so much and are so specific. So tell us more kind of about that, and then how you netted out to where it is today.
Yeah. So, to kind of give you the process. So first is finding, you know, a designer, like somebody that can kind of help you with the process. So kind of reached out, found somebody. We started on, hey, let's meet up. Let's try to talk about, like, what are some do's, what are some don'ts, what's some things I like, what's some things I don't like. Kind of built from there. He came back with an idea. Okay, I like this, don't like this, let's do this. Okay, we build from there, go into a tech pack. Now it's kind of in, goes from 2D to 3D. So now it's kind of all virtual on a computer base. You go from there to then having to outsource and say, all right, well, now we need to find out what's the right kind of partner or factory or whatever the case may be, trying to find that. So, you know, if you want to try to do it in the States, it's kind of harder. I mean, the price point for that is through the roof. So it's very hard, especially for an athletic shoe. Like my shoes, the shoe that we have for Ethics is an athletic based shoe. So we end up finding a great partner from the manufacturing side of things over in China. And so and to let you know, like COVID was going on while all this was going on. So I never got a chance to see my designer after COVID started, which was probably maybe like a month or two into this project. Like we kind of, you know, I was in Louisiana, he was in Detroit. So it was like kind of going back and forth. Zooms, FaceTimes, calls, just trying to figure it all out. And a lot of calls, a lot of text messages. Then going from there to now we're down to two factories, picking which one makes sense, finding the right factory. And then basically, hey, giving the factory our tech pack, say, hey, look, we need you to make a sample, see if it comes back in the right form, sense, and everything like that. And, you know, probably took us eight tries at it. Which was probably over a span of maybe like 3 months, 4 months. And then we finally got a shoe that said, okay, this actually is really good. Okay, let's get two now. And then once I got two, it was like, all right, now we got some, now we kind of shaking. And I kind of give you guys a preview of this is the next shoe that's coming out. So, yeah, we got some flavors coming out. So,
I see that.
Yeah. So, they kind of break it down and give you a story. So every shoe that we made has a story to it. So this shoe right here, this is my son's colorways. He loves Iron Man, which is, you know, the top two, you can tell. And then the bottom is, the Hulk. So you got green and green and purple. So yeah, that's how we broke it down. And, you know, now we're at shoe number four and we got the Ethics logo here. So it's good.
I like it. You know, you said something interesting when you were going back and forth with the designer about likes and don't likes. And one of the things that we always talk about with people, and it's not just it's with anything, but in a process like this, talk about how important it is to know just as much what you don't like as much as it is what you do. Even sometimes more so what you don't want.
No, way more important. Yeah. Basically, you know, you have your pros and your cons, and, you know, you rather have, it's almost like, it's like playing a game. It's like, hey, you rather win, but you hate losing more than you like winning, you know, if you get that. So it's like, it's like that. It's like you rather have more pros, but you hate cons more than you do, you know, with pros. So it's weird. It's a weird dynamic, but, you know, everything's not going to be perfect, especially from the first shoe standpoint. And there's a lot of things that I learned from a standpoint of just like, you know, designing a shoe from the standpoint of when you have to worry about the shipping process from getting it from China to the States. And then you think about like the wholesale of like trying to figure out, hey, what price point do we want to have the shoes at? What actually amount of shoes we want to have. So it's a lot of like, you know, pros and cons to everything with a shoe company, first and foremost, but you don't see a lot of guys trying it. You don't see a lot of guys doing something like this. And I was like, hey, I've traveled the path, less traveled more so than anybody, that I've been around, you know, being undrafted. So I was like, hey, why not do something else? Let's travel. Let's travel. I was like, why not? Why not me? So
exactly.
I'm really enjoying this journey, and hey, it's just getting started.
What was the ballistics test like, right? And by ballistics, I mean, well, you got to see how this thing works on the floor, right? Like, I mean, and you and your style of how you like a shoe is for sure different than, I don't know, Carl Anthony Towns, right? Or Chris Paul, or so what was that process like?
Yeah, so we went into it trying to figure out, like, all right, the first shoe, like, you know, to have a low-cut shoe, like, I love having a low-cut shoe. I've always worn low-cut shoes. But then also, too, I knew how I cut, I moved. I knew exactly what I needed for the court. And so I was saying, all right, let's go with the mid-cut shoe, because that way I can kind of like divvy it up where it's not like all the way far left and it's not all the way far right. It's kind of like in the middle. And so, you know, then you can kind of like see the market, see if like people like it, if they don't like it. Then you can see other players try it out. Okay, I like this. I don't like this. It's a little too heavy. Or it's light. Like, you know, just trying to figure that all out. So That was the biggest like kind of like appeal that I really wanted to just get out there and just see what the market was. I didn't want to be just another NBA player just to say, hey, I made another shoe it is what it is. But like the shoe is vegan made. So it's like all just naturally made. And, and you know, I'm plant-based as well. Like, so that kind of speaks to my like ethos. Like I really wanted to have something that's different in the market space. Something that, you know, people can kind of relate to that have a story. Like, I don't want to just tend to like, hey, look, everybody that, you know, either they want to go Nike, Adidas, whatever the case may be, but if they want to, you know, do something different and be a part of something that's you know, trailblazing the path for a lot of players and a lot of athletes. Hey,
I like it.
Come join the team.
I like it.
Yeah, I think there's so much, and it's interesting about being plant-based too, because there's been a lot of conversation around that too, and athletes that have kind of made that transition. And I think, you know, to Gerard's point too, about like the personalization of shoes and your playing style. I mean, like, I don't know if it's too soon to bring up Zion and the PGs, you know, or the Paul Georges, you know what I mean? And it's like, that stuff is so important. So like landing on a mid for that extra ankle support versus a low and testing that out. I mean, how has everything been going with all that transition in terms of like diet, customizing your shoe, basically built for you in terms of playing style?
Yeah. So I'm going to say because that's what a lot of people didn't understand. Like, I was the test dummy. Like, I was the person that had to go out in the court. And if this thing blew up on me in the game, like, people like, oh, crap. Like, he just wasted all this time trying to build a shoe and look what happened. But no, like, that was the biggest, like, kind of, like, nervous twitch of mine, because I was just, you know, I'm like, when I launched it, we were in the finals. And so me to get on the court like in the finals, and people are like, whoa, what does he have on? Like, what's that? What's going on? Like, to have a new shoe in the space. People say, oh, nah, man, that's not nothing, man. It's going to blow up on him. It's going to do this in the third. But it actually was so so different for me, knowing that, hey, I wanted to go back in time and relive. Like, when I was growing up, all the shoes were cut and sew. Everything was cut and sew. And so I told the factory, hey, look, we want to do something different. We don't want to just come out with, you know, just another, like, hey, look, let's get the machines going and go from there. But like a cut and sew shoe. So my shoes are all cut and sews. And it's something that a lot of older sneakerheads can kind of relate to, because that's when the game was different. It was a whole different lane. It was a whole different style of shoe. And that's why I was like, hey, look, let's try to continue to go down this path and have something that I feel like wasn't going to, you know, just break down on me, but it was something that was, you know, it stuck together. You know, somebody physically made this in hand, and it's going to be a long lasting shoe. So I haven't had any problems. I know I've had some guys, 16, 17s, try them all out. Haven't had any problems. My weight is different from everybody else's. Like you said, like, you know, I weigh about 190, and most guys, you know, they're probably average 250 at the max. Haven't had any issues, so it's been good. Good.
And so is the goal to ultimately have you know, a bunch of guys just sign on and be like, yeah, we want to rep the brand, right? That's the goal, put it out there.
I mean, it is the goal, but I don't think necessarily like that's the like what we're aiming for. You know, my story is different from everybody else's. Like, you know, I look around the locker room most of the times when I'm playing in the league, like, you know, there might be one other guy that might be undrafted. Everybody else has been drafted, you know, the main guy. So our three tiers that we're looking for is HBCUs. So guys that, you know, undervalued, guys that, you know, are looking for opportunity. The grassroots teams that, you know, aren't sponsored by the bigger brands, but they, you know, they want to just, you know, try something different. And we've had two different programs already reach out, want to do something, working on a third right now. And then women's basketball, like, that's another area that we want to target. And we want to see, we have our, like I said, we have 4, 5, and 6 getting ready to come out throughout the fall. And then we're going to get ready to launch number 2, shoe 2. So we're excited about, like, you know, getting into like the women's side of things, smaller sizes, and really seeing them, you know, change the game, because I feel like that's an untapped market, and people really don't see them as, you know, as leverage, and they see them as, you know, something special. Like, they really, like, the women's basketball game is unbelievable. Like, I you know, I have a daughter as well, so she's going to be, you know, in that realm sooner rather than later. But, It's just like to see how they play and the underneath the basket and like how skilled mm-hmm. they are. Like that's everything. So I really appreciate all they do for our game because they really motivate and really encourage a lot of women out there.
No, it's great. And what you're doing with Ethics is that you're filling a market need, right? Because mm-hmm. Nike and Adidas and all the big ones, they're going to get all the top teams and the, but the HBCUs, the grassroots who aren't smart, like in the women's game, those are the underserved markets, right? Like, and it aligns perfectly with your story, which is being an undrafted player, right? So in that way, you were underserved, if you want to use that term, right? So now heading into, as we said, late in the summer, moving towards NBA training camp, what is, without, because I know how the league works, you can't like really say too much stuff, but what's the thing that's going to get you, that you think that you need to stick? Or are you like, look, I'm good enough to stick. It's just about the right situation where a team realizes like, I got this. Cause you were at the Suns, you guys went to the finals in the 2021 season. But I imagine for you, as much as that was the pinnacle for all NBA players, you want to get a nice run where you could just stick out in the league, for the next several years.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a little bit of both. Just kind of for myself, mentally, like trying to show that, hey, look, people have kind of put me under the radar, which is, been my whole life. Mm-hmm. Nothing's been given to me. It's always mm-hmm. been hard. It's always been a journey. I love, being a part of a journey. Like that's just my career. And I can't really pinpoint, hey, like, this is what I need to work on. This is what I need to add. This is what I need to take away. Like, it's just, hey, going out there and showcasing, hey, like, this is what I do. Either you like it or you don't like it. And so that's all I've been working on this summer. Like, from the defensive standpoint, mm-hmm. being able to play on the ball, off the ball, mm-hmm. whatever team needs. Like, that's – and then, shoot, now I'm a veteran now. So, mm-hmm. Going into my ninth season, like, it's really been pretty cool to, mentor the young guys and mm-hmm. be able to just see, a lot of guys that I've, been a part of, been around and seen how their growth is going. And they always reach out to me, hey, I appreciate everything you've done. Like, yeah, just trying to mm-hmm. give back to the next generation because – eventually, hey, this ball is going to stop bouncing for me, but, hopefully no time soon. But when it starts bouncing, I'll be able to say, hey, look, I gave, as much as I could to the game and gave it to the next generation. And then, hey, I'll see what's next.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. I feel like the G League to that point, right, has made so many different strides and changes. Big fan of G League and Westchester Knicks. Jay knows I was going to have to drop it in at some point. So, I think in terms of kind of that next generation, I'd love to know more just about like your thoughts on the G League, where it's come from since you played there and where it is now, versus the look ahead.
Yeah, no, it's taken leaps and bounds. I'll say that for sure. When I was in the D League at the time, It's made a huge change. It's gotten a lot of, makeovers, from the standpoint of, Gatorade taking it over and sponsoring it now. You see the G League Ignite now, like in the league, like they have like, guys going right from high school to the G League Ignite and really, showcasing their skills, but also too getting a chance to play against pros. Like that's what it's all about. Like getting a chance to get in there as fast as you can. And then, hey, see if you can make a mark for yourself. So, I'm just thoroughly impressed. Like, the whole league in a whole has really, change from when I was there because like the living situations, the payment plans changed. Even like, playing at different cities or travel, like, mm-hmm. You still travel commercially. Yeah. Like that's still a part of it, but it's not as bad as it used to be. Like, you had to connect here, like to get to a game or you fly in the day of a game, play that mm-hmm. game that night, then fly out the next morning. Like mm-hmm. it didn't make sense. But now, it's more accommodating situations with, the East team stay on the East, the West team stay on the mm-hmm. West. And then it's like, all right, when the playoffs comes, then you see and you really get a chance to, see these guys, get a chance to showcase themselves. So it's great. It's great.
All right. But before we wrap this segment, you got to send a message out there to Knicks fans. So that's where they know you from, Westchester Knicks. You made your whole thing, Talk about if you or say something that like, should give Knicks fans some hope that things are going to get better in the Big Apple.
I mean,
hey, Yeah, I'm about to say, I mean, they made a huge jump in the free agency market. They rarely do. And, I'm excited to see, you know, what they're going to do next. Hopefully they land a big fish to kind of complement their new additions. And, once a Nick, always a Nick. So I appreciate all the love from all those fans because they always show me love.
See that, Knicks fans? You got some positive news out there from Langston Galloway. You got your Jalen Brunson. Hopefully you'll get, you know who. We ain't going to say, but y'all know who. Hopefully. Because if you say it, it's not going to happen, right?
Exactly.
All right, folks. Of course, you know, Langston talked about his crazy shoe collection. Now, while he is not in his home right now with his thousands of pairs of shoes, he does have some shoes with him that he will show us in the next segment, presented by Another Lane Shoe and Tell. So everybody stay tuned. Don't go away. What's good, everybody? We are back. And you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by AnotherLane.com. Look, every week I get on here and tell you people about Another Lane. If you want to get a shoe education, you want to be with like-minded collectors, you want to understand the sneaker game, log on to AnotherLane.com and do all you can to get your knowledge up. Now, Langston, we said you ain't at home, so all the heat's not there, right? So if you think about it like that, he got like some travel heat, right? But it's still going to be some nice stuff. So it's your show, my friend. Take it away. Show us what you got.
Yeah, so first one, on all these are like kind of recent pickups, but just something that, I wanted to scoop. So, a little heritage. So these are dope. Some different. I normally go with all of the classics. I like the classic colorways and try to stick to that. Mm-hmm. But this actually, it commemorates that, and I just like the colorway. It's simple, it's dope. Hey, I rock whatever I can. So
man after my own heart. Those are my colors. Simple, nothing crazy. But Langston, keep it a buck though. You ain't on sneakers app like the rest of us poor lonely souls. When you want to get a pair, you just send out a text. Yo, man, I need these.
Yeah, I'm making a call or two. I got a lot of stuff to trade. I haven't done much. I haven't done much lately. So these are kind of a couple of big pickups that I made. So let's see what else I got for you guys. So this pair right here, I think you guys will like this one. Another dope pair.
Wait, hold on. I'm gonna show you right now. I'm gonna take what's on my foot.
Look at that. Now, did you text him and tell him that you were wearing those, Gabby, ahead of time? Don't front.
I did not. No, I actually did not. I didn't even do my kicks pick yet. No pieces happened before filming this episode, y'all.
So now I have both pairs, the concepts, Air Maxes. I'm like, yo, I needed both. I needed both colorways. Like,
I love the heavy. That one's oof.
Yeah, I love just, what Concepts does, man. Concepts really does some nice collaborations. They actually put time into the story, and I like it a lot, man.
And it's a shoe that wears really well, right? Like, not only is it light and comfortable, but like, I got it. I'm like, this is a little bit more out there than I usually rock. Not far out, some might say, you know what I mean? but I can't wear this shoe enough. Honestly, it's amazing. Just the patterns, the colorways, it pops. I don't know. I'm a big fan. So
hey, you can dress it up. You can dress it down. You can do whatever you want to do it. So it's good. It's good. I know me. So my walk around day to day, like the Saucony's, some Asics, New Balance has really been like big in my rotation right now. Like fresh, the Joe Freshgood, man, he's been killing the game. Him, what's the other one? Oh, John, man, they've been killing the game for New Balance. So, big shout out to those guys, man, at New Balance. And then the last but not least, and I'm only gonna show you guys three pairs.
See, you're not trying to show off too much. Like, let me just.
Yeah, I can't show too much. I haven't worn these. Yet. These are still out the box. Georgetowns.
Yeah, man. Classic colors.
Yeah. So I actually have a couple. I haven't gotten the 85s in the Georgetowns, but I have gotten the 85s in the Chicagos. I've gotten 85s in the metallic red. The UNC 85. So I have a couple like 85. Like I actually have 85s in my collection. So I'm trying to get all the 85 just to have them, like, you know, to store it up there. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
This is what you're a serious collector.
Big, I've done all like the, you know, getting all the different general releases. I can get those easy, but it's like, hey, I gotta find the older stuff. I gotta find the older stuff. Like,
see, when you a baller, the general release is light work. You're like, I can get them. So I ain't worried about
those.
That.
I can get those. Yeah.
We had a guest on last week, Langston, and I Unbreakable Kick. Shout out to him in Vegas. He had Chicago. Yeah. Excuse me. He had a great collection. He had all the collegiate joints, right? Yeah, and I was and I love those, right? All those PEs, like the UNC threes, but not with the Jumpman logo, with the UNC logo on the top, right? The Oregons, the same ones. I'm like, those are fire. And I'm like, man.
He's collected all of them. He got all of them. Like, big kudos to him, because I don't know if he paid for them. Like, you know, like you still, you have to trade in some stuff for those. And You gotta make some huge decisions to get those. So yeah, big shout out to Unbreakable Kicks, man. He's doing a great thing.
So I don't know.
I texted him after the show. I was like, you know, I want them UNC threes and those Oregon threes, but I am not literally breaking open my retirement account. So you tell me what I can get at a reasonable price, and we'll work.
That's a conversation I can't have, Jay. That's the difference in this game. Is I can't be like, all right, let's make a deal.
But the good thing about right now, and Gabby would know this, is that if you go, because I was just at SneakerCon in Vegas, but most of your high end sneakers are kind of coming down right now. Mm-hmm. The market's kind of dropping a little bit. So I'm like, might be perfect time for me to grab a couple.
Watch the StockX as Gabby uses StockX for the stock market price. Watch to see what they're selling for.
Every day.
And this is just like the stock market, when prices go low and everybody running away, that's your time to jump in.
Yeah. So I'm just saving up. And then when it's time to just sneak on in there, grab all these pairs, and boom, and my collection gets even bigger. But one day we got to do a sneaker tour of my collection. Like, I got some crazy stuff in there. I definitely want to show off.
We are happy to do that, my man. By all means.
For sure.
Beats in the streets, for sure. Langston, man, this is dope. We appreciate having you on. Tell the people where they can find you, follow your basketball journey this coming season and all that.
Yeah, so you can find me, Lane Galloway 10 on IG, Ethics the Brand, ethicsthebrand.com. Please go check us out. My wife is doing everything. She's running everything and really making a mark in the scene. So, you know, if you guys feel like you have some ethics and you feel like that's the right brand for you, we would love your support, love your efforts. And, hey, hope to see you guys soon, and much blessings. And catch you soon.
Shout out to Mrs. Galloway for holding it down with ethics. And folks, you know where to find us. Of course, we are part of the Count the Dings Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all that at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. And until next time, peace.